Well, welcome to Open Door, everybody. We're glad to have you all here on this nice, sunny, little cool Sunday morning, but I'm happy with it. We all please stand as we begin worshiping this morning. We're going to sing a little bit about that victory in Jesus. He came for me, right? And he showed himself to me and saved me. I'm so thankful for that. We bow your heads. We open up with prayer. Dear Lord God, I praise you and I thank you this morning, God, that we can come here. And because you sought us and you bought us and paid for our sin with the blood of your son, Jesus, God, that we can stand here this morning and worship you, justified in spirit and in truth, God, filled with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you for the worship this morning. God, I pray that we bring glory and honor to you with the songs that we sing. Everything we sing and say this morning, God, I want to bring glory and honor to you and point to you. And God, I ask that you be with Pastor Larry this morning as he brings your word. You have a message for us this morning, God. Speak it into our hearts and change us into what you want us to be. And I thank you for the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Very quickly, you don't need to sit down. In your bulletin, you see that there's no prayer meeting. There is no prayer meeting this coming Wednesday. There will be Bible study. Bible study will be happening at 6:30. The reason there's no prayer meeting is because myself, Richie, John Junkins, and Steve Schaefer are going to a conference in Florida. So pray for Steve.
Yeah. I pray for you guys because he's driving. All right. Good, Kathy.
Yeah.
just stand and realize that God is greater than everything that's in front of us, the victory's His.
I'll
God if you're his this morning. Amen. Before we sing the next song, hold it a second, Kathy. I'd like to read a scripture. I can keep playing. That's okay. John chapter 17, verse 1 through 5. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this eternal life, that they know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed.
Hey! we do come praising and singing hallelujah, Lord, you have overcome. Lord, that means so much that we don't even comprehend. You've overcome death. Because of that, we have life. And Lord, we know that there's no mountain too high, no valley too deep that you cannot come and meet our need. Wherever it is, you are above all. Father, you are greater than anything this world can throw at us. So, Lord, we do sing hallelujah. We do sing praise to your holy name. We thank you for showing up in this worship service. We pray that it's glorifying to you. And, Lord, as we come now to the worship, Lord, we ask that you bless this tithe and this offering. And, Lord, if you have a dollar, put it in. If you need one, take it out. So, Lord, we just give it to you to do as you will. And, Lord, as always, as I preach your word, Lord, that you will bless me. Forgive me of my sin, Lord. That as I preach, Lord, if I'm going to say or do something that is not of you, not of your will or your word, silence me, sit me down, rise up the one to speak for you. Why? Because it's not for my glory, it's for yours. It's for you to be glorified and for your church to be edified. Not me, Lord, but through you, you would speak to us. We just give ourselves to you at this time. In Jesus' most holy and precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. What a wonderful day to worship the Lord. What a wonderful service thus far. Amen. Listen, if you wasn't here last week, I encourage you to go back last week and listen to the first part of this sermon, all right? But let me ask you this question from last week. Have you all been anxiously awaiting today's message? Amen. Have you been like on the edge of your seat, like I couldn't wait to get here to hear the second part of this message? Good Lord have mercy. Well, today's word will bring us our to-be-continued message on the Holy Spirit. So I hope that you were excited to get here this morning. I really do, to hear the second half of this. Now, just to make sure that we are all on the same page, we began last week with Jesus telling his disciples that he had to go away. But when Jesus left, he would send a helper, a guide, the Holy Spirit of God, he would send him. Now, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And we have God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they're separate in personality. The Holy Spirit is separate in personality from them. Also, the Holy Spirit is a he, not an it. The Holy Spirit is a gender. It is a he. Jesus referred to him as he. So the Holy Spirit is a he. Now, last week, we looked at the role of the Holy Spirit as our helper, bringing us to Christ by convicting us of our sins and drawing us into relationship with him. We also looked at the work of the Holy Spirit as our guarantee, making us secure with God, sealing our inheritance. Remember, we talked about sealing our heritage, sealing our eternal life with him. Now, remember, we talked about the branding that God does as he marks us as his own, and he does that with his Holy Spirit. He marks us, that's his mark on us, is his Spirit. But what about after we've come to know Christ? Okay, we talked about how the Holy Spirit draws us in and brings us into relationship, but what about after we come to know Christ? You know, we've come to the point where we've said the prayer, we have acknowledged and believed in Jesus Christ as both as our Savior and our Lord, right? And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in us to do that, right? That we never come to belief in God on our own. It's only through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. But we pray that and then the receive the Lord, but then what? After we're saved, then what? What is the role of the Holy Spirit after salvation? This, my friends, is what you have waited all week for, so let's continue. So what is the role of the Holy Spirit after we come to know Jesus Christ? Well, Scripture tells us, and here's the third point, the Holy Spirit is our guide. Remember, this is a continue from last week, so this is point number three. The Holy Spirit is our guide. Now look with me at Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. Read with me there as I say this. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. They are contrary to one another. Here's what it is. There's a war. There's a battle. There's a tug of war. It's going back and forth between your flesh and your spirit, right? He says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, Paul says that if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now let's look at verse 16 again. Look where it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. So the word picture there that Paul gives us here is this, is that the spiritual life is a process of walking. It's a process of walking. This is where the idea of a spiritual life being a journey comes from. You ever heard that? My spiritual life, it's a journey. My life in Christ, it's a journey. That's where this comes from. That our commitment to Christ is not a destination. Breathe that in for a second. Our commitment to Christ is not a destination, but instead it's the beginning of a journey, a spiritual pilgrimage. A spiritual relationship from where we are today to where God wants to take us. Now, I'm not going to lie, the journey may sometimes seem like an uphill hike, amen? Right? Sometimes we get ourselves in there and think, holy Lord, what do you want from me? And let me explain why that is. It's because walking in the Spirit is contrary to walking in the flesh. And we were born, listen very closely, we were all born walking in the flesh. All of us were, every single one of us. We were born with a sin nature. We were all born walking in the flesh. We were all born with a sin nature that was passed down and inherited through the original sin of who? Adam and Eve, right? That's how we all got this. That was the part of the curse with Adam and Eve, is that everyone would inherit the sin nature. So that's why in our spiritual journey, the spiritual hike, there will be conflict between the leftovers of our old way of life, our sinful nature, and where the Holy Spirit of God is leading us to go, our new spiritual nature. So you got two natures there. And they're in battle, they're in competition with one another. Even Paul, one of the greatest apostles to have ever lived, struggled with this same truth, as many of us do. If we were all honest, we would tell you that we struggle with this. But look what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. He said this, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. What I want to do, what I should be doing, and I know that God has told me to do, that's what I want to do, but I don't understand because for what I will to do, I don't do that. I don't practice that. But what I hate, that I do. Anybody ever been in a sin situation? It could be a habitual sin, a sin that you've been struggling with for years, and you hate yourself for it? Yes. Me too. I hate myself for it. That's that verse right there. I know what I should be doing. I understand it. I know what, but I don't do that. I do what I hate to do. is kind of like this. I'll say, that's it. That's it. I'm done. I'm not going to cuss anymore. I know it goes against God's word, and therefore I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm done. And then you go along in the middle of the night when you get up to go to the bathroom, and you're in the middle of the night and you stub your toe on the edge of the bed. Or this one, my favorite. Someone cuts you off in traffic. And beep to the bleep, beep, 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 beep. Right? God tells me to love my neighbor, or this one, how about this one? God tells me to love my neighbor as myself. So that's what I'm going to do. That's what I need to do because God tells me to do that. So God tells me to love my neighbor as myself, so I'm going to do that. And the next thing you know, your neighbor throws the snow off of his driveway onto your freshly shoveled driveway. So what's the first thing you do? You go out and buy a home. Well, you ain't going to shovel it. I'm too lazy for that. So I'm going to go buy a Hallmark card and thank him. No. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to train my dog to go do his business on his lawn. Right? So not only are you not loving them, but you're trying to find ways to get even with them. Or how about this? The Bible says that I am to love my wife. I'm to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And I say, I do love my wife as Christ loved the church. I do that. As long as she's doing what I want her to do. And I love her a lot. Or my New Year's resolution is to read my Bible every day. Just me and God spending time together. I'm going to commit anew this new year, and I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to spend time with the Lord. I'm going to do a quiet time. And then TV land has a 24-hour Gunsmoke marathon. And we say, oh, hey, I thought you guys were moving today. There's some space right over here, one, two, three, fourth pew back. Right there. See, you distracted me by staying where you're supposed to be. Listen. So TV land has that, right? You're committed to this, and the TV land has this marathon. You say, oh, well, I'm going to spend time with God tomorrow because I can't miss this marathon. Those don't come along very often, right? It's telling my age, right? You get the point. I don't understand why I do what I do because what I do not want to do, that's what I keep on doing. You see, walking in the Spirit is contrary to our sinful nature. So God gave us the Holy Spirit. God gives us the Holy Spirit as our guide, right? To instruct us, to show us what it means to walk in the Spirit and how to walk in the Spirit. So we get there. Is what we think of as a coach or an instructor. He gives us this counselor. He gives us this guide. He gives us this coach or an instructor. And I want you to think about coaching for a minute. Now, coaching is generally a hands-on relational process, right? It's your interactive, right? It's a hands-on relational process of helping a person to what? To be what? To be successful, right? Right? That's what a coach does. They want their players to be successful. Now, when I coached youth league soccer, I had to build a relationship with my kids so that they would what? They would trust me. Had to be interactive with them. I had to get personal with them. I had to develop a relationship with them so that they would begin to trust me. And then I literally walked hand in hand with them, put my hands and arms around them, said, you're to be here, you're to do this. You get your hands up, you get your hands down, right? I literally walked hand in hand with them through the learning process, teaching them the fundamentals of soccer. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us as our guide. John said in chapter 16, verse 13, he said this, that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So you see here the Holy Spirit as a spiritual coach, right? And he offers us hands-on guidance. He offers us hands-on encouragement and resources, power and assistance as we walk up this sometimes steep hill of spiritual growth and maturity, because the whole time you're walking, you got this. Now, as a soccer coach, I could not only teach and instruct my, my players. There's something I couldn't do. I could not go on the field and play the game for them. But I could encourage them from the sidelines. I was there with them the whole time. Win or lose, I was there. I could provide all the know-how and resources, but ultimately it was up to the players to put into action what had been what they had been taught. It was up to them to put that into action, you see? And look, that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit gives us understanding and wisdom in God's Word when it's being taught or preached. Let me say that again. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit gives us understanding and wisdom in God's Word when it's being taught or preached. That's why Sunday school is so valuable. That's why coming to worship service is so valuable. And through that teaching and through that preaching, through that, the Holy Spirit helps us to discern what is good and what is right. Also, you know when He does that? In your quiet time. The Holy Spirit helps us to discern, helps us to understand what is good and what is right. But like a coach, the Holy Spirit won't walk for us. I want to emphasize that. The Holy Spirit won't walk for us, but He walks side by side with us. Remember, we learned that last week. He comes alongside of us. Remember we talked about that? How He comes alongside of us, inviting us to keep in step with His promptings. He's going to let you discern it. That's His promptings. You need to walk this way. You need to walk this direction. This is how you need to treat your neighbor, right? Right? He's giving you this, these promptings to follow His direction and rely on His encouragement and rely on His strengthening and not our own, which allows the Spirit to pull the flesh. So just like a coach, He helps us to stay on track. He helps us to stay in obedience to God's Word and to stay in obedience to God's way, to stay in step with God's will. And spiritually, He gives us water. I want you to understand the spiritual water. What is spiritual water? Anybody tell me what spiritual water is?
Dasani.
What is it?
Dasani.
No. Spiritual water is the Word of God. What did Jesus tell the woman at the well? Remember? Yeah, I'm going to give you, and you're going to thirst no more with the water I give you. He gives us the spiritual water when we're thirsty. Rest, He gives us spiritual rest when we're tired. And He gives us a spiritual kick in the pants when we grow lazy. And and words of encouragement when we feel like quitting. And when I am open and obedient to His guidance, when I'm open and obedient to His instruction, the Bible calls this being filled with the Spirit. When I am in walking with Him in obedience to His will and His way, under His guidance, letting Him lead me, that's what the Bible calls being filled with the Spirit. Now, I feel that I must clarify that. This is not the same as being indwelt by the Spirit. Understand this, every genuine Christian, every genuine born-again believer, every genuine Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It's automatic. Upon salvation, being indwelt with the Holy Spirit happens at the moment of salvation. Scripture teaches it. So if you're saved, right? And if I would ask you if you're saved, raise your hand, a bunch of you would raise your hands. If you're saved, understand you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. But we are only filled by the Holy Spirit when we allow Him to empower our lives on a moment-by-moment basis. Oftentimes we'll come to a church service and we'll say, man, the Spirit was moving today. Or we'll get a great, awesome worship service or a concert and we'll say, man, could you feel the Spirit of God? We are only filled by the Holy Spirit when we allow Him to empower our lives on a moment-by-moment basis. When we are in tune with His promptings. This is important. That happens when we are in tune with His promptings and His guidance, when we obey Him. When we allow Him to move us. We allow Him to move us in the direction of God's will and purpose for our lives. But the truth is this. The spiritual life of following Christ can be an uphill climb. Anybody there right now? Following Jesus in times of uncertainty or turmoil or tragedy or conflict, it can be an uphill climb. And sometimes it's a challenge. And not always easy to stroll. It's not an easy stroll through the park all the time. And people who preach that shouldn't do that. Christ says, because I suffer, you will also suffer. You will have trials. He says, have joy in the trials. He says, it didn't say if the trials. He says, when they come. Listen to me. Truth is, the spiritual life of following Jesus Christ can be an uphill climb. And it's not always an easy stroll. And as we learn of what God expects from us in worship, listen, it's not an always easy stroll. When we find out and know according to His Word what we've been taught, what you've been studying, and what you've been preached at, right? It may not always be easy to go and give God what He expects in worship. Let me ask you this. Now, I'm going to step on somebody's toes, and this is not going to be nice. You think... Do you think God's being glorified when you're sitting in church service looking at your phone on Facebook and Google? And why not? You're not giving God what He's due. He says, what? He says, come worship me, right? He says, and on the seventh day, you take a rest, you worship me, right? Or what? How about what God expects from us in service? Or what about how God expects from us in our finances? Or this one's going to hurt too. What about what God expects from us in leading our families? I could go on and on, obviously, right? But no matter what we encounter, here's the point. No matter what we encounter along this incredible lifelong trail, or our instructor, right, along the way, our instructor, our teacher, our coach, our guide, He is there with us. That's a promise from God. That's not a promise from me. That's a promise from Christ Himself. Listen, He is there with us. He's there to what? To encourage us, to get into God's will, to seek the spiritual and not the flesh. He's saying, look, I got this for you. You do this, and these are the things that are going to happen. And you think, well, that's just too far off because I can get immediate gratification if I listen to my flesh. Let me tell you something. You might get immediate gratification, but it will not be the gratification that you're looking for eternally. It will not be. Listen, all of these things are going to lead to rewards at the end. You understand this? All of this is going to lead to our rewards at the end. When we sit at that table with Christ. Amen? Listen. To seek the spiritual and not our flesh. He offers us everything that we need to take the next step in our walk. He does. The Holy Spirit offers us everything that we need to make our next step in our life and our walk with Jesus. Wherever you're at right now, good, at the pinnacle of the top of the mountain or at the lowest part of the depths of the valley of the sea and the bottom of the sea, you may be there in your life right now. But listen to me. Trust me when I tell you, you're a born-again believer. You are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You come in tune and walking with Him in His obedience to what He's leading you to do. He will help you in the next step of your life. He will. Why? Because when you're obedient to Him, He's going to grow you spiritually. He's going to grow you spiritually He's going to draw you into a more intimate relationship with Him. And just like when an athlete is obedient to his coach, right? Just like when the Kansas City Chiefs listened to the instructions of Coach Andy Reid, there's a victory to be had. That's why they've made it to where every football player hopes to one day be, a Super Bowl victory, right? The Chiefs went to the Super Bowl because as a team, each person had listened and followed the instructions of their coaching staff individually. And their and they've come together now corporately. They come together now corporately as a team to win the Super Bowl. Well, just like that, when we as born-again believers, when we listen to and follow the instructions, the guidance of the Holy Spirit as individuals, as believers, it is then that we will become mature in our walk as Christians. It is then that each and every one of us will perfect our ability to perform certain tasks for the body of Christ corporately, for the church. Understand as you mature in your Christian walk under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it is then that the Holy Spirit will give you certain abilities. He will give you certain gifts that will strengthen and empower the rest of the team, which is the church. And it is then that the Holy Spirit gives to us individually our gifts, that each of us can come together, right, as a team, individually, we come together as a team. And then when we do that, with all these gifts being prompted by the Holy Spirit, you know what we get? Victory. We get victory, a Super Bowl victory spiritually in our own small corner of the world, right? We can overcome, right? Which leads me to my final point. The Holy Spirit is our giver. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Who's that? Those who are born again believers. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of just myself. Is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. I heard a minister just the other day, we should read this verse, and said, cut off the backside of that. He said, don't listen to the back second half of that. You cannot do that. That is heresy. You cannot do that. You cannot cut off the God of Word to for your pleasure. If you're speaking in tongues, there's an interpreter. Verse 11, but one in the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So, I don't know if you're picking up what Paul's trying to lay down here. Paul was saying this. Paul says that each follower of Jesus Christ, who's a follower of Jesus Christ? All right, I am. Thank you. I think glad you are too. Paul says that each follower of Jesus Christ is given at least one manifestation of the Spirit. Now, this phrase, manifestation of the Spirit, is another way to describe the gifts of the Holy Spirit. A spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit. Listen, I can go learn how to play chess. I can either become a poor chess player, a medium chess player, or a great chess player. That's not a gift. I can learn that. It depends on how much time I put into that, the better I can be. That's not what this is talking about. He's talking about a gift. He's talking about a spiritual gift. The spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to a believer for serving the Lord and His church. And listen, when we use these spiritual gifts, the invisible presence of the Holy Spirit is manifested, or it's made visible, right? Like the wind blows, we don't see the wind, but we can see the trees bending, or the power goes out, right? But we can see it's manifested, right? He gives us these gifts, and they become these invisible, this thing, and it becomes manifested. You can see the effects of it. Let me give you an example. My spiritual gift of preaching makes visible the invisible work of the Holy Spirit in me. Let me say that again. My spiritual gift of preaching makes visible the invisible work of the Holy Spirit in me, that it is not me alone. How many times, here I'm going to say it, how many times I'll come off the pulpit and I'll come down there and And somebody say, Pastor, man, that was great. That was a really good word. And I'll say, thank you, but give. Because it's not me. He's making something visible. You see that? That it's not me alone, but the Holy Spirit of God who enables me, who gives me the power to do this. I don't do this on my own. I can't do it on my own. It's only by God, right? Right. So he gives me the ability to do this. Now watch. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 reminds us of this. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And Paul lists several different kinds of spiritual gifts for us there in verses 8 through 10. There's the gift of wisdom, a gift of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And these are just a few, by the way. So some of us may have the gift of preaching, right? And some, like Carol over here, she has the gift of hospitality. Some days she wish she didn't, but she does, right? But she has the gift of hospitality. Others may have the gift of discernment, or others the gift of teaching. Can also be associated with the gift of knowledge, or the gift of faith, or the gift of service. There's a diversity of gifts. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, look what he says, that each one has his own gift from God. You are a born-again believer. You've trusted and believed in Jesus Christ. You have your own gift from God. So every born-again believer has at least one spiritual gift, and each gift is given, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, is given why? Why is it given to us? It tells us there, for the profit of all. Now understand this. It is God who gives us these spiritual gifts for the common good. The Christian community is for the Christian community to be built up and strengthened. We talked about that Wednesday night at Bible study, right? That's the reason for these gifts. It's for the body, the church to be built up and strengthened, the body of believers as a whole. Why? 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 Why is that the reason? Why? So that the church will become vibrant. So the church will become alive. Listen, you ever heard somebody say, well, I went to this church. Man, that's the dead church right there. That's just dead. You ever hear that? That's why the Holy Spirit gives us these gifts, is so the church will become vibrant. The church will become alive and become spiritually healthy for the church to become Super Bowl contenders in the spiritual realm, okay? That's what it is. So that the entire church, right? The entire church through each of us personally, that the entire church, each of us personally, come using our gifts together will help us to defeat the flesh. You ever hear the term accountability partners? We're talking about spiritual accountability. It's to build up the church. And listen, maybe you are a young Christian and you don't know what your spiritual gift is. You're sitting here thinking, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Well, my advice to you is this. Get involved somewhere in service to the Lord and allow God to lead you. Now, as you grow in Christ, and as you grow in Christ, as you mature in your Christianity, your spiritual gifts will come to light. They will reveal themselves. For example, who knew that I would be called to use the gift of preaching 25 years ago? Now, some of you are looking back there that knew me 25 years ago, and you're thinking, quit smiling, Mike. You too. And who knew? Who knew when I was cutting the grass at the church that I would be called to be your pastor? Who knew when ordering the Sunday school literature as the educational director that I would be called to be your pastor? You see, I just got involved. I just got involved. And that led to leading the youth group. And then, you know the rest of the story. But as a person grows in spiritual maturity, God will equip and reveal the gift he has given them. And each believer, as we walk through our Christian lives with Jesus, we are or should be on a journey to discover what our spiritual gifts are. It should be something that we want to do. And how can we, not only what they are, but how can we use them in specific areas of ministry to build up one another in the Lord? Because listen, if God gave you the gift, then he certainly expects you to use it for the profit of all. So God gives you a gift personally as a believer. But that gift isn't just for you. It's for the building up of the entire household of faith. And if you aren't contributing, this is the bad part of the sermon. If you are not contributing, if you're not using your spiritual gift that God gave you, then it would be like this. It would be like if someone gave you and your entire family a really exciting gift. Your family, you got this really exciting gift, something that everyone in the family could use and benefit from, something that everybody in the family would enjoy. I don't know, maybe, let me think of my house. How about a 70-inch big screen TV to watch the Daytona 500 on? Well, unless you're Steve, it might be a Taylor Swift concert or something. You know, I don't know. But you were given this incredible, nice gift, and you took that gift that was given for the entire family, or maybe for you and your friends, and you locked it away in your bedroom so that only you could use it, or worse yet, you left it in the box and stored it down in the basement for no one to use. Question: would that be right? No, of course it would not be right. Yet that's exactly what happens when we don't use the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us individually to build up the Christian community, the church, you and I, the household of faith. You know, Leslie, you don't have this, but Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, it says this. It says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh," remember that flesh? "For he who sows to the flesh will also reap. For he who sows to his spirit," "he who sows to his spirit will of the spirit reap everlasting life." You get that? "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap." He's talking about harvest, right? We will harvest. "We shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith." It wouldn't be benefit to take our gift and hide it. Listen, the gift that God gives us aren't just given to us. They are given to the entire church family. Your spiritual, it's given to you, but it's given for your entire spiritual family and your friends for the profit of all. We just happen to be the individual that God trusted to deliver that gift through. He gifted us for the profit of all. And listen, the spiritual health of any church, mark my words, the spiritual health of any church is not determined by how powerful the worship service is. We have a nice service here. The spiritual health of any church is not determined by how powerful the worship service is, nor by how effective the pastor is, or by how great the building is. The spiritual health of any church is determined by how many individual members are using their spiritual gifts in ministry. Let me say this again. The spiritual health of any church is determined by how many individual members are using their spiritual gifts in ministry. It's we, not me, right? Now listen closely. That is where the power is. That is where the power is. The we, not me mentality, because that's what makes people pay attention. That's what's to what's going on in the church body. When they can see the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit at work and all, not just a select few. That's why people look from the outside and say, wow, that church is on the move, man. Why? Because they're using their gifts. Over in Acts chapter 6, the disciples chose 7 men. Remember that? Acts chapter 6, verse 3, who were known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And these 7 were to minister to the widows and the daily distribution of food to the widows and the elderly, right? Acts 6:7 says that as these 7 ministered, the word of God spread out, the word of God spread, and the number of disciples increased rapidly. You getting this? They're putting their gifts to work, and as they ministered, the number of disciples increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. And that is what happens, folks, when we put into practice our spiritual gifts and are full of the Holy Spirit. That's when the number of believers will increase rapidly, and others will become obedient to the faith. So let me ask you, isn't that an incredible power to behold? Think about that. Is that not incredible? That God has given you and me these gifts to give us the power to increase the kingdom. You know that the spiritual gift that you have right now might be your next pastors. If you work into them, you're using your gift into them, you could be raising up the next pastor. A large number of priests became obedient to the faith. But unfortunately, and all too often, Christians refuse to use their spiritual gifts for the profit of all, for the profit of God's kingdom purpose. Instead, they keep them all to themselves, or they keep them boxed up and don't use them at all, which is a problem. Because God's word tells us that the manifestation of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, are for the profit of all. And not only that, the manifestation of the Spirit is how we know that we are the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 tells us that. As many as were led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So this is how you know. So this is how you know that you are a child of God. That when you are filled by the Holy Spirit, He will lead you to serve and give you what you need to do it. Bottom line, I don't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. Those of you who know me know that I can't do this on my own. It's only by God that I can stand here before you and do what I do. If He's going to give you a gift, He's going to give you exactly what you need to do to use it. So there you have it, the role of the Holy Spirit. This is in short. The Holy Spirit could go on and on. But there's the role of the Holy Spirit in short. Number one, as our helper, He brings us to Christ. Number two, as our guarantee, making us secure with God, sealing us with His personal seal, identifying us as His own, right? And number three, as our guide. The Holy Spirit is as our guide, encouraging and strengthening our walk, keeping us on track or putting us back on track when we get off track, right? And number four, as our giver, giving us spiritual gifts to empower and strengthen the body of believers. Now let me ask, isn't it awesome to know? Really, truly, isn't it awesome to know that when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, He makes all of these things available to us? And not only available, but inside us, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God, that you are the temple of God. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to instruct us, to move us, to guide us, right, moment by moment, it's really what you have to do is moment by moment, we become completely filled with the Holy Spirit. We are being moved by the Holy Spirit. We're being filled by the Holy Spirit. Now, maybe you're sitting here this morning, and as you've listened to this message, you've begun to wonder, am I full? Am I completely full, running over the brim full of the Holy Spirit? Or am I just indwelt? But being indwelt doesn't seem quite enough anymore, does it? Therefore, I invite you to come this morning and recommit. Come this morning and ask our Lord to fill you up. Ask Him to begin to move in your life. Ask Him to draw you closer than you even were before. Not into salvation, but into relation. But remember this. Remember this. Remember this. You can ask all of these things, but it requires a walk, an action from you. And sometimes it's an uphill walk. Question. Are you willing to be full? Or maybe you haven't even been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Meaning you've never ever asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life. You've never asked Him to come into your life to forgive you your sins. But you know what? You feel that drawing. You feel like there's something missing. You feel like there's something that you need to do, something that you need to settle spiritually. And you hear that. You hear that oh-so-quiet voice calling out to you, knocking at the door of your heart. And you're hearing it. That's God doing that through His Holy Spirit. Question is, will you open the door? Would you open the door and allow God to come in? Would you come this morning and open that door to your heart and invite Jesus Christ in? Because listen to me when I tell you this, God will only knock for so long. You may never get another opportunity. So if you hear that voice, if you feel His presence, and you want something more than you have now, come to Jesus. That's His drawing you. Because I assure you, without the Holy Spirit in your life, you have no helper, you have no guarantee, you have no guide, and worst of all, you have no hope. And the only thing that God has given you is what you have right now. It's what you have right now. There will never be anything any better. In fact, your future is desolate without hope. So I invite you to come this morning and settle your future. Let Jesus show you what it feels like to have victory in your life today. Come and let Jesus fill your heart with His Spirit and your life with purpose. A purpose that will bring rewards beyond your imagination. You come, Christian. I'm talking to Christian. You come, one and all this morning. You come. Why? Because we all need to pray that God move in this moment right now powerfully. It's through your prayers that God will begin to move. Would you, Christian, begin to pray that God have a moment in someone's life today? Let us pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the victory that you give us through your Spirit. Lord, apart from you, we can absolutely accomplish nothing. But Father, your word tells us in you that all things are possible, all things are obtainable. And Lord, in you, the most precious obtainable gift is our salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. And the best available gift in that is coming to Him is being used by your Holy Spirit to accomplish your will on this earth through our lives. Lord, let us not hesitate to let you move, but Lord, that you would move mightily and powerfully, and that those that you are calling will come, those that need to recommit will come, and those who are the prayer warriors will come and pray that you will move. Have your will and your way in this service, in this time, in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We all please stand. Thank you.
stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working.
Thank you all for coming today, and just give you an update. My mom is doing very well. Today is her birthday. She's 78. So we're going to go sing happy birthday to her after church and eat cake. But listen, pray for us as a group of us are going to Florida. We'll be flying down, and Zeke will be preaching next week. So be prepared for him. And as you depart this place, that song is so true. He's still working. It's not just here. He's everywhere where you are as a believer. And he's working. And it's invisible. And sometimes you need to stop and ask God, make the invisible visible to me. So as you go out those doors, it's not over. It's only just begun. Go worship our Lord out there, just like you do in here. I love you all. Thank you for coming. We'll see you next. We'll see you.
Waymaker.